Waste, fraud, and abuse is one of those slogans we've been hearing for decades, and it's always been a real Republican talking point. Well, you know, I've taken that one seriously, and seemingly they have abandoned it. But, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse has many faces. We can talk about the wasted lives, the fraud and abuse of tax dollars, and if you've been part of our team for any time at all, you know I'm a huge fan of LEAP, which is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Law Enforcement Against Prohibition is LEAP, and you can find them online at leap.cc, as in Charlie Charlie. Leap.cc is Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. We've had various of their folks on over the years, most recently Major Neil Franklin. They're just an awesome group, but today we're talking with Michael Sindrich. Michael Sindrich is a former deputy district attorney from San Diego, California, who currently works as a private attorney defending medical marijuana patients and consulting with organizations involved in the medical marijuana industry. He is a member of LEAP as well as the executive director of the San Diego chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Michael Sindrich, it is my honor to have you on the Norman Goldman Show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, Michael, you know, you are just the kind of person that I like talking to on this issue. Because there are many people who have never smoked marijuana, never come near the stuff, don't have any interest in trying it. They just simply apply common sense and say, you know, we banned booze and that didn't seem to work out too well. Why don't we just like apply some common sense? Now, you were a deputy district attorney. And so I have to ask you, Michael, as we get started, I mean, how many people's lives did you take part in destroying? I'm sorry to ask it that way, but by making them felons, by putting them in prison, by putting them in jail, by giving them a criminal record that's going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. I mean, did you participate in doing that to a lot of people?
Unfortunately, I did, and it would be in the hundreds.
And has that kind of bugged you over the years?
That has bugged me, especially, you know, there are certain offenses that I don't lose sleep over as far as the cases that I prosecuted. But drug offenses, absolutely. I have a big issue with people going to jail or prison for drug-related offenses.
Well, now, Michael, I'm totally with you when it comes to you being a former deputy DA on rape cases, murder cases, property crimes. I mean, obviously, there's a wide range of crimes, assault and battery. I mean, where you have my complete support as a prosecutor, because the whole idea of criminal law, in my humble opinion, as a fellow barrister with you, is the law is there to protect us from others, even if it's financial crimes, like on Wall Street. But we'll talk about that some other time. But it seems to me if somebody's sitting in their own living room or somebody's enjoying their freedom and liberty in the privacy of their own home, this is not something government should be doing, yet you and so many other prosecutors did it and yet have now come around to realizing that this is a very unwise public policy. Michael, what did it for you that got you to say, you know, this is really dumb and we need to change course?
Yeah, I mean, part of what got me out of the prosecutor's office was the lack of control over the cases that I was prosecuting. You have several different supervisors, and ultimately it's their decision on which cases you go forward on. And especially with drug possession cases, you see the lives that get destroyed. And oftentimes these people are drug addicts, and all they need is rehabilitation. They don't need to be locked up in a prison. And, you know, prison systems are a revolving door. People go in, they come out, they don't get the help that they need, they commit additional crimes, and they go right back into prison again. So that was a big issue that I had, that I still have with the current drug laws.
Well, Michael, now that you have joined LEAP and you are the executive director of the San Diego chapter for National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and they've been around since at least when I was a kid, I remember them then. What are you doing and what can I do and what can anyone else who's listening do to help to, you know, change these ridiculous laws that are destroying our nation and our people?
Well, I think the best thing that we can do is to contact our representatives, because ultimately it's going to be our representatives that are voting on the key pieces of legislation that are coming forward. So I think that that's an extremely important avenue for change. And I think being familiar with the different representatives, the different people that are running for different office positions, being familiar with their views on drug laws, and then supporting the ones that are in favor of ending prohibition.
Well, Michael, I just saw a news report about Sam Brownback. He's a very Republican governor of Kansas, former United States senator. And in the news report, Sam Brownback was saying, you don't change America from Washington. you change America in the states. And you and I have seen that now. California, our state, the first state to legalize medical marijuana in 1996. Now, of course, we have Colorado, Washington State legalizing it for all purposes. Many other states have decriminalized. Should we try an effort in Washington, D.C., or should we just stick to our states and do it on a state-by-state basis?
Well, I believe that we absolutely need to try an effort in Washington, D.C. Over the course of the last decade or so, we've seen that even in states that have passed legalization or decriminalization measures relating to marijuana or medical marijuana, that the federal government has still taken action in those states. And oftentimes, they're taking action against people who are in compliance with state law. So I think on this issue, we absolutely need some federal change.
We're talking with Michael Sindrich. If you're just joining us, Michael Sindrich, C-I-N-D-R-I-C-H, and you can find him on our Twitter feed at Norman Goldman and our Facebook page, the Norman Goldman Show on Facebook, because I'm posting about this for today's show. Michael Sindrich is a former deputy district attorney from San Diego, California, now a private attorney working in the medical marijuana industry, defending medical marijuana patients. He is the executive director of the San Diego chapter of NORML, National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, and he's with us today via LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Do check them out online at leap.cc, as in Charlie Charlie, leap.cc. Now, Michael, did you, like, find that there were police officers and other prosecutors that you were talking to when you were in the district attorney's office who all just kind of quietly were talking, like, you know, having a drink after work or just in the parking lot when you're going to get your cars, where, you know, you just kind of linking up with each other saying, you know, this is kind of ridiculous. We really need to change. Or did everybody that you've come across in, who was formerly in law enforcement, police officers, prosecutors, just kind of come to this independently and then everybody just kind of had a coming out of their own?
Well, when I was working in the DA's office, I would say the majority of prosecutors that I spoke with believed that prohibition was a failure. They saw the same criminal defendants over and over again that were going to prison and coming out. So they saw that. On the police side of law enforcement, you know, I think it was split down the middle. You have some true believers out there that really believe that drugs are bad and that people that use drugs are bad and that this is hurting our society. But then you have the other half that see that, hey, it really isn't that bad and that we should be focusing our resources on more important crimes.
Well, Michael, I'm fascinated by the law enforcement against prohibition aspect of this, because you, as a former deputy DA and police officers like Neil Franklin, who we've had on, and others, you have seen the damage done to countless lives. Can you describe for us just very briefly what it is that a person who is processed through the criminal justice system, say for possession of a couple of ounces of marijuana, what kind of stain does that leave on their lives in terms of a criminal record and other things that kind of follow them around and make their lives difficult to live going forward?
Well, the arrest alone will show up on the record. Even if they're never ultimately charged or convicted, the arrest will be there. People that run employment checks, background checks for employment will see that arrest. And although they're not supposed to use that arrest in order to deny employment, oftentimes they do. So just an arrest alone is a big mark on someone's record. And then when you get processed through the system, oftentimes you'll be arrested. You have to go into a jail cell with other people who are violent criminals. You have to post bail, hire an attorney. You go to court feeling like a criminal, and you're treated like a criminal. And really, I've had clients that have gone through this. I've had clients that for marijuana offenses have had their dogs shot. It's not uncommon for police to come in SWAT-style gear and point guns at kids and grandparents. So I've had clients that have had post-traumatic stress just from these raids initially, and they were in full compliance with state law. So these are things that not only the record and the stigma associated with these offenses on their record, but the mental aspects of going through this are pretty traumatizing for most individuals, especially those who aren't career criminals, and they're doing something that nowadays is mostly legal under state law.
Now, Michael, I understand that most of the folks that you would have dealt with and that are in the criminal justice system, they enter into some kind of a plea bargain. They very rarely go to trial, so they'll plead to something. And so if they try and go get a job, that's going to show up if a background check is run, right?
Yeah, the conviction will show up on background checks. And even though we're in the modern era where marijuana offenses aren't viewed all that bad by employers, we are seeing that just having a conviction alone will have negative consequences.
Now, that's a whole lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. Michael Sindrich, I got to leave it there, but I'm really, really glad that you, as a former deputy DA, have had the courage and the common sense to and be as articulate as you are to come out and just say that this is silly and we need to apply some common sense and change. I really appreciate you being part of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I'm glad that you're working in the industry and working with Normal and doing what you're doing. It's good folks like you that are going to change this society. I'm really glad you came on to the Norman Goldman Show, and we'll talk to you again one day soon.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.